Listen, I did film and television studies at university for 3 years. I spent hours reading countless books and articles on subjects spanning from film all the way to television. Not a single one mentioned Hugh Grant once.
I achieved the hardest qualification across any university or college ever, a 2-1 in history. Let me tell you, the only thing that I learned was that we, as a society, have a history of denying and neglecting Hugh Grant's artistic and cultural relevance, not just in this country, but in the entire world.
I met Oscar at a Hugh Grant-themed event I put on at the Students' Union.
It felt as though Digory and I were the only ones there, and we agreed that there was a Hugh Grant-shaped hole in academia.
We decided to put it right ourselves. We want to show people that he's an icon in acting.
We want to show people he's more than just a bumbling posh guy.
I'm Digory Waite.
And I'm Oscar Beardmore Gray.
And this is...
Taking Hugh for Granted.
Welcome to Taking Hugh for Granted, the podcast in which two friends watch every single film starring Hugh Grant in the attempt to answer the simple question, is this film Taking Hugh for Granted? Is this film good on its own, or does it rely on the bumbling Brit for its acclaim? This week, like every week, I'm joined by my good friend Oscar Beardmore Gray. Oscar, how the hell are you doing, mate?
I'm doing extremely well, Digory. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm actually in a fabulous mood today. The sun is shining where I am. I'm off the back of a wonderful weekend. Someone said today,
my mother,
said I looked brown today. Fantastic. So, you know, I'm feeling good. I've just watched Sense and Sensibility in bed. I shouldn't do. The sun's shining outside.
But... in the middle of the day.
Yeah, I did. Because I've been desk bound because I've been working from home. I've been desk bound a bit today, doing bits and bobs here and there. So I thought, you know, if I'm going to be in here and watching it, I'm going to get into bed. This is quite a cuddly film in some ways, quite a comforty kind of film.
Well, so, best to watch Hugh reclined, I'd say, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. I was going to say with your hands covered up under the covers, but best to not talk about that. Shall we get into a synopsis and then get slap bang into this film?
Let's do it.
Sense and Sensibility, directed by Ang Lee and released in 1995. When a certain Mr. Dashwood dies, he must leave the bulk of his estate to the son by his first marriage, which leaves his second wife and their three daughters, Eleanor, played by Dame Emma Thompson, Marion, played by Kate Winslet, and Margaret, played by Emily Francois, out of house and home. They are taken in by a kindly cousin, but their lack of fortune affects the marriageability of the practical Eleanor and the romantic Marion. When Eleanor forms an attachment for the wealthy Edward Ferrars, played by Hugh Grant, his family disapproves and separates them. Now the pair must lose their hearts and come to their senses.
Oscar, Sense and Sensibility, 1995, directed by Ang Lee, written by Emma Thompson. Oscar, I guess we can start nowhere else than with Hugh Grant, the man himself. Let's talk Hugh.
Let's talk Hugh. Look, Diggs, this is Hugh Grant at his most stereotypical self. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
He's bumbling. Yeah. Yeah. He's posh.
He's British.
Awkward.
Oh, yeah.
He's very British.
Yeah.
He looks scared every time he's on screen. What did you think?
I mean, it did remind me, and not just because it was a period piece, of his portrayal of Chopin in Impromptu, a gentleman of the higher upper classes, and terrified, constantly terrified and bumbling. Also, his look... he doesn't look like Hugh Grant. He looks like more like fucking Nosferatu. His shoulders are so high up, he has no neck at all. And he just walks around and...
Like a penguin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Listeners at home, whether you're on the train, whether you're on the bus, whether you're doing the dishes, however you're listening to this right now, stick your shoulders up, just right up by your neck, and you will look like Hugh Grant in this film.
He also has his hair...
yeah,
he looks like he's been in lockdown for 10 weeks. He looks like the coronavirus pandemic hit in 1797.
Exactly.
His hair is all over the place. It's like this bushy mane that goes up sort of, I don't know how far, like 30 centimeters up in the air.
Yeah, you could fit a whole school ruler.
Yeah, he needs to get to the barber.
But where is Miss Margaret? I declare, Mrs. Dashwood, I'm beginning to doubt of her existence. She must run positively wild.
Pray forgive us, Mr. Ferrars. My youngest is not to be found this morning. She's a little shy of strangers at present.
Well, naturally. I'm shy of strangers myself, and I have nothing like her excuse.
How do you like your view, Mr. Ferrars?
Very much. Your stables are very handsome and beautifully kept, Mrs. Dashwood.
Stables? Edward, your windows overlook the lake.
An oversight, Fanny, had led me to one of the family rooms, but I've rectified the situation and I'm very happily installed in the guest quarters.
So this film, his character, we haven't even said his name yet. What is his name?
Edward Ferrars.
Edward Ferrars. Thank you very much, Oscar. Someone's paying attention. I just go, my Hugh. So Edward Ferrars, I don't know. Is you know, look, guys, with this film, it doesn't really matter. Is mum or something or he, someone's taking over a house and Emma Thompson's family needs to get out of the house. That's basically the story, isn't it? And he goes along there and meets Emma Thompson and they take a liking to each other. And what I liked about this film is that within 12 minutes, I was in love with them both. And it just is so much quicker than other films we've watched where I'm sat there thinking, fucking hell, it either takes half an hour or, in the case of Notting Hill, an hour before I'm like, okay, right, I love both these characters. There's a beautiful scene where Hugh Grant and Emma Thompson are trying to goad this child out. She's hiding under a table and they're trying to get her out from under the table.
Won't you come out, dearest? We haven't seen you all day.
And this kid, fucking weird kid, is into atlases. and
mate, that's
goes,
all you can be into back then, atlases.
Oh, Miss Dashwood. Forgive me. Do you by any chance have such a thing as a reliable atlas?
I believe so.
Excellent. I wish to check the position of the Nile. My sister tells me it is in South America.
And this girl on the table is pissing herself laughing. She can't believe it. And then Emma Thompson's like,
oh, no. No, she's quite wrong. For I believe it is in Belgium.
Belgium, isn't it? And this kid can't take it.
Belgium? Surely not. I think you must be thinking of the Volga.
The Volga?
Of course, the Volga, which, as you know, starts in
Vladivostok and ends in
Wimbledon.
Precisely. Where the coffee beans come.
Ah, the source of the Nile is in Abyssinia.
Is it? How interesting. How do you do? Edward Ferrars.
Margaret Dashwood.
Delighted to make your acquaintance.
And that's just that beautiful moment. And it only takes 12 minutes, but I just know these guys are on the same page. They're having fun. They're making little jokes. And I loved it. Were you convinced by their burgeoning love?
Look, Daze, I'm not going to beat around the bush here. I'm not going to pretend. In previous films with Hugh, there's been a couple of episodes where I've maybe pretended because it's Hugh, not pretended, but forced myself to like the film. I'm just gonna say it, I don't like this film. I thought it was shit.
Oh my word!
And I know,
really?
I know. Look, guys, I know there's so many of you out there who love the whole period thing. You love the Downton Abbey bullshit. I don't, okay? I'm sorry, it's crap, it's boring.
Oh no.
This is 2 hours, 15 minutes where I just wanted to fall asleep, honestly.
No, Oscar, no. That's so sad, dude.
Look, but what I will say is that for the purposes of the podcast, for the purposes of doing Hugh's name properly, I will look at this film in the most positive light I can. And this was one of the nicer moments. The little girl says, the source of the Nile is in Abyssinia. And he goes, is it? In like the most Hugh Grant way. Like we've seen this before, the kind of like pop up intonation.
That's such a good Hugh Grantism. As soon as you say that, I'm like, yeah, I know, you're right. I know it straight away. Is it? He sort of like, he will tilt his head.
It's exactly.
It's like a little snap upwards at a 45 degree angle. And that's brilliant. You're so right.
Yeah, so I mean, lots of people have said about this film, the reason why it's so good is that in the book, all the male characters are kind of boring and dull and there's nothing really to them. And this version of Sense and Sensibility, where Emma Thompson changed the screenplay quite a bit, she made the male characters more interesting, both Alan Rickman and Hugh Grant, and made them more egalitarian And also there were some certain characteristics like being fond of children. So this was a sort of a first look at that kind of nice chemistry that Hugh had, and slightly more sensitive role. He's a massive softie.
Are you a business owner? Are you running a political campaign? Are you a furniture outlet having yet another sale? If the answer to any of those questions isn't no, then you can have your advertisement right here. The Taking You For Granted podcast gets over 100 listeners every single episode. For prices starting as low as six figures, you can have your advertisement right here. So what are you waiting for? Email takingyouforgranted@gmail.com today for a full price list, and you can have your advertisement right here.
We were dreading doing this film, let's be honest. We were both dreading it.
We were.
I do not like period pieces that are, you know, stiff upper lip and, you know, really like, oh, curtsy and stuff. That sort of stuff bores the hell out of me, and I just can't get into it. However, this film, and particularly Emma Thompson's screenplay, is so quick. It's so funny. It really takes the piss out of itself.
Well, you're far more educated in this world of film than I am. And I'm actually really, firstly, pleased that you liked it, because one of us had to like it. And secondly, yeah, actually very surprised that you liked it, because I thought for sure that you were going to hate it.
No, but that's the thing, because I maybe because, as I said to you before, I was in a good mood today. That obviously has a huge effect on it anyway. Pete Holmes, an American comedian, said this once. I kind of agree. He was like, every time you read a film review or a book review or whatever, at the beginning of the reviewer should say, this was the mood I was in today. This was the lunch I had. This is what side of the bed I got up on. Because I think that does have a massive effect. However, my reading of the film was, Emma Thompson's taking the piss with her script. A lot of it is a joke, and it's funny, and it's supposed to be funny. There are loads of funny moments in this film, and it's quick-witted. Hugh Grant, in fact, plays a similar character, I think, to what we see him in About a Boy and Musical Lyrics. He's sarcastic. His little one-liners here and there are good and endearing.
Well, and of course, Emma Thompson, she sort of said that she basically wrote the part of Edward Ferris for Hugh. It wasn't a question that anyone else was getting the part. She wrote it for him. So, I mean, that's
incredible.
She clearly knew his style of acting. He could pull off these kind of one-liners that she was going for, the kind of more jovial, jokey screenplay.
More modern.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Mm. And I mean, I guess the whole point of these Jane Austen adaptions is to show that despite the fact that all these people have got stupid collars and curtsy every time someone comes into the room, their lives are more similar and relatable than we think, I guess.
And still enjoyable. I mean, that's the problem with period pieces. I think half the fun is that the fun has been sucked out. For a lot of people, they want to watch a period drama because it's devoid of fun, and it's like constant bubbling and simmering under the surface of, I don't know, sexual passions or enraged lovers or, you know, people who want to like kill each other or all that sort of shit. It's all shrouded in secrecy and, you know, that's crap and boring for me. I don't find that very fun. This is way more fun, where they're taking the piss out of that the whole time. And there is funny moments, like I say, White Hugh's character and stuff. I have to say, my state in this film was, I was hugging myself. And then when I wasn't hugging myself, I was giggling to myself.
Look over there. Hugh Grant's in a Pret. Look over there. He's holding a baguette.
There are some really, really nice tidbits and trivia in this film that are worth talking about. For example, I think one thing that's definitely worth talking about is the fact that they brought Ang Lee in to direct this film. For listeners out there, basically, you know, as you can imagine, Sense and Sensibility, Jane Austen, about as English as it gets. And Emma Thompson spent 5 years or so writing the screenplay for this. And then they decide to go and hire a Chinese director, which you would have thought is just completely off with this kind of stereotypical English kind of humor, dry, boring, I think.
you would assume you would pick someone British who understood the period, British period we're talking about.
There's a real sort of left of field choice, and they chose him because when they were kind of picking people and interviewing people, he had the same sort of sense of humor that Emma was trying to go with the film. And apparently working on the film, he was like incredibly deadpan, didn't speak the best English. I think Hugh said that you know, he basically would just tell them that they were crap or looked old or
something.
And they actually endeared to that, and he had very high standards. I think, for example, there was the one scene actually where Marianne, Kate Winslet, is in the rain. She's rescued by Willoughby on a horse. They shot that scene 50 times and Kate Winslet got hyperthermia from it.
What? Because Ang Lee was just like, again.
Yeah,
again,
it's just like, nope, crap, we're doing it again.
Well, so the two things I heard about Ang Lee in this film is that he said, this is the first day of that Hugh Grant was on set, apparently.
One was to me and Emma Thompson after we'd just done a little walk and talk scene, and I thought we'd been frankly marvellous. And we went up to Ang, who was sitting at the monitor afterwards. He was looking absolutely miserable like that. We said, well, what do you think, Ang? What do you think? And he said, very boring. It was very crushing. And then he said to Kate Winslet, as she was leaving the set at the end of the first day, don't worry, you'll get better.
And yeah, it's like that kind of thing where you're like, oh my word. Oh God. But I'm not gonna lie, for my money, it worked a treat. I think the camera is framed in such ways sometimes where there's comedy, not from what characters are saying, but like that moment when Emma Thompson is stood in the middle of the hallway and all the others are in different rooms crying. That's really funny. And the way the camera has all the doors in shot and her just stood there looking exasperated, that stuff's funny. The direction works.
I mean, it was definitely a great coup to get someone who wasn't what you'd think to be a director. And I think it really shows what they were going for, a more modern take on Austin, by hiring someone who isn't like just stuck in their ways and, you know, white plush folk who tells people what to do. I think that was quite a good move on their part.
And the Oscar for Best Screenplay Adaptation is awarded to Emma Thompson. Sense and Sensibility.
I don't really know how to thank the Academy for this. And if I try, we'll be here till Christmas. So I better get on. Profound thanks to Columbia Pictures then for hiring a first-time writer. To Sidney Pollack for asking all the right questions, like, why couldn't these women go out and get a job? Why, indeed? To the cast and crew for being the single most frustrating reason why I can't claim all the credit for myself. And finally, I would like, with your permission, to dedicate this Oscar to our director, Ang Lee. Ang, wherever you are, this is for you.
What a great cast.
I mean, it was the
it's worth
best
talking
British,
about that.
That is so true. It's the best British cast we've seen since Harry Potter.
I mean, it basically is Harry Potter.
Exactly.
I mean, one thing I've taken away from watching some of these films from the 1990s, 1980s even, is that I was born in 1995, you 1996, and like we came late, I guess. Harry Potter was kind of seeing all these people in their 40s, but our parents' generation watched all these actors in their 20s, 30s when their careers are starting up. And it's basically just Emma Thompson and her mates. She just hires all her mates. They have a career together. They start doing Harry Potter and they're like, yep, we'll get Emma along. We'll get Alan along. Yeah. Hugh, you didn't get a part, but everyone else will get a part apart from Hugh.
Yeah,
damn
exactly.
You guys. If Harry, fucking hell.
We even saw Umbridge is in this film.
Umbridge.
They're all over the shop in this film. Umbridge looking ridiculous. But also, I think we talked about this in the Hunger Games episode 10. I think Hugh Grant, I believe, I have it on good authority, was contacted to play Lockhart in Harry Potter. But there was contractual issues and all that sort of stuff. Classic Hugh. Harry Potter has a fantastic British cast, and this film is no different. The cast is great.
Well, I'm taking Hugh. I'm taking Hugh for granted. Well, I'm taking.
I mean, I also wanted to shit on Colin Firth because Colin Firth is any opportunity. So obviously, this was a real renaissance in Jane Austen filmography. We had Pride and Prejudice, the BBC adaptation from 1995. We had this, 1995 as well. Then we had Emma, which stars Gwyneth Paltrow in 1996. And Colin Firth made his name, Pride and Prejudice. I haven't seen it. but it's shit.
It's shit. We can now confirm, it's exclusive Taking Heat for Granted, we can confirm Pride and Prejudice is shit. And Colin Firth is shit. And Hugh Grant is the shit.
Look, guys, I know that loving Hugh Grant, loving Colin Firth, for a lot of you, it's the same thing. But for us, it's not. I'm sorry.
It's not possible. You can't have a Taking Heat for Granted podcast and love the two of them. That's not possible. There's only room for one of them. And we've talked about this before. They're born one day apart. That is some Harry Potter shit right there. They really are. They were born to not. And they don't like each other. At least in
interviews. Yeah, they hate each other.
They're always taking snipes at each other. They have
Bridget
to.
Jones.
It's the only way. Actually, this is a complete side note, but this might be quite one for the fans. You know Hugh Bonneville, who stars in Paddington with.
And Notting Hill.
And Notting Hill, yeah. So he stars in a few films with Hugh. God, that was a bit of a tongue twister. Hugh Bonneville and Hugh Grant in interviews together. Go and look them up on YouTube. Those guys hate each other, and it's absolutely hilarious.
One of the things I like in the movie, too, is all the prisoners have nicknames. And if you could choose your own prison name, what would it be? Or you can assign each other one.
Well, you were in prison, and you were bitch, weren't you? Bitch Bonneville, that's what that was.
Maybe that's why he refused to come on the podcast. talking of Hugh Bonneville, though, actually, my latest kind of slide into the DMs of Hugh Grant is that my sister's friend's family are friends with Hugh Bonneville's sister, who knew Hugh Bonneville and who knows Hugh Grant. So we're working on that one.
It's another one.
I just don't want to get too you know, my hopes up too much, because we've had leads similar to this before, but we need your help, listeners. Get Hugh on the podcast.
Yeah, get Hugh on the podcast, if you know him anyway, or even better still, just tweet him and say, hey, I've listened to this sick podcast, check it out and do an interview with the guys, because he's not going to have a better couple of interviewers than us.
Exactly, and he's probably sick of us literally tweeting him daily. Yeah,
exactly. He must know about us. We're the biggest Hugh Grant podcast on the internet. I mean, and we're the smallest. Because we're the only one. But he must know by now. He must know.
Well, you're listening to Hugh Grant Taking Hugh for Granted on the radio. Hugh Grant Taking Hugh for Granted. Oh, the podcast show.
Hugh turns up at Emma's house. Emma and her family think he's wedded to somebody else. Everyone's very sad. He comes in, and they go, "How's Mrs. Hugh Grant?" And he goes, "Oh, my mother's very well." And they're like, "No, we mean Mrs. Hugh Grant." He's like, "Oh, haven't you heard? She's actually married to my brother." Emma Thompson starts crying.
All hell breaks loose.
Then Emma Thompson's mum and her two sisters like gaggle out of the room. They're like, "Oh dear," and like run out of the room. So it's just Hugh and Emma. I'm not going to lie. Emma Thompson is like weeping. And she's been, sort of, her sister has jibes at her throughout the film being like, "You don't show enough emotion." She is hysterically crying.
Eleanor, I met Lucy when I was very young. Had I had an active profession, I should never have felt such an idle, a foolish inclination. My behavior at Norland was very wrong. But I convinced myself that you felt any friendship for me, and that it was my heart alone that I was risking. I've come here with no expectations, only to profess now that I am at liberty to do so. That my heart is, and always will be, yours.
And I'm not going to lie, I don't know about you, Oscar, at this point I was hugging myself and giggling, I was going, "I'm so happy."
the smile when she stops weeping, and she like looks up and she smiles, that is Emma Thompson, radiance,
yes.
Pure radiance.
Yes.
She has such a great smile.
Yeah, she's got a great smile. And even though she's just absolutely spilled her guts out of her eyes.
Meanwhile, Hugh still looks like he's got his shoulders stapled to his neck.
Exactly. It looks like someone shoved a rod through his shoulder, through his neck, and through his other shoulder. So they're permanently stuck up there. And he's turned around, his arms are swung, and he's gone, I do love you. What a sweet moment. And through this rain and through the tears... her smile is a ray of sunshine, and I just thought, oh, you know what? I thought, what an ending. I loved it.
Taking you for granted. Taking you for granted. Taking you for granted. What did you think, lads? Were they taking you for granted?
Right, Oscar. Let's get your sad shit bit out of the way first. What did you think of this film? Is this film taking you for granted?
Diggs, you know what? Listening to your enthusiasm for it, maybe I've changed my mind, but I'm going to stick to my guns.
Stick with it. Stick with your guns. Stick to your guns.
Stick to my guns. This film is taking you for granted.
Mm.
Look, guys, period pieces are just not my thing. I am vowing never to watch another one ever again after watching all of Hugh Grant's period pieces, because I've wasted like 10 hours of my life watching them now.
Dear.
I don't love the whole period thing. Hugh, not bad. Brings some element of fun and wittiness to the role he's playing. So I like that. And Emma Thompson, full marks, brilliant screenplay, about as good as it gets for Jane Austen. And she also smashes out of the park with her acting. So
exactly,
that's what I will say. Diggory.
I, funnily enough, I'm very torn on this one, because is this film take, because obviously I'm naturally going to say this film isn't taking Hugh for granted because it's a great film. However, is this film taking Hugh for granted? Yes. The guy's only in it for fucking 20 minutes. I mean, it's a joke. They are taking him for granted in that sense. So take this as a half and half. Are they taking Hugh for granted? The filmmakers are. The film is, yes. However, is the film good? And if we're viewing it in that sense, it is. I think it's brilliant. It's a punchy, quick, great script that's funny and witty and modern. It's got direction to match and a great cast. Great acting, as you say, with a standout performance from Emma Thompson. Great performance as well from
Severus Snape.
And Hugh as well is the cherry on top. So I will say, to add a bit of balance to it, I'll say this film is not taking Hugh for granted. But I want people to know out there that it kind of is as well.
Very good. Well, I'm glad that we got that one over with, Diggs. We were dreading it, but it looks like we enjoyed it in the end.
You know what? Sometimes going into a film with no expectations is one thing. Going into it with bad expectations, and often is a great way to go into a film. I was dreading it, and I could not have been happier. I loved this film. I think halfway through it, I was going, this might be the best film I've ever seen in my entire life. I loved it. You can tell how much of a good mood
I can't
I
believe
today.
This is honestly shocking.
So good. It was so funny. Oh, well, look, listeners, we would love to know what you thought of it. We would love to know. Comment on our Instagram, tweet us on Twitter, give us an email, find us. We're at Taking Hugh on Twitter, at Taking Hugh for Granted on Facebook and Instagram, takinghughforgranted@gmail.com on the email. Let us know what you thought of this film. It's on Netflix. Check it out. And it's got Hugh in it. There's no excuse. We love you so much. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Taking Hugh for Granted is produced, edited, and presented by Diggory Waite and Oscar Beardmore Gray. The producers of Taking Hugh for Granted would like to state that this podcast is in no way associated with the actor Hugh John Mungo Grant, nor does it endorse his views or represent him in any way. Instead, by creating this podcast, Oscar and Diggory hope to celebrate Hugh's illustrious career, reliving his old classics and shedding light on some of his hidden gems. Hugh, if you're listening, we hope you approve.